battle for all of Lebanon. That was how the Secretary General of the Hezbollah Resistance Movement, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, described Lebanon's stance in the face of Israel's claims to its maritime border, offshore energy resources, as well as the wall Israel plans to build on Lebanese territory. While confirming that America cannot be an honest mediator in resolving any such disputes, he said that the continuing U.S. presence in Iraq and Syria is primarily because of those countries' energy resources. Join me, Waqar Ouzoui, as we discuss the U.S.'s Middle East policies tonight. Let's go directly now to our guests who are joining us tonight for this discussion. We're joined by TV journalist Sayed Mohsen Abbas, who is joining us live from London. And we're also joined by the president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Mr. Michael Lane, who is joining us live from Washington, D.C. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us. Michael, I'll start with you. What do you make of America's role in trying to mediate between Lebanon and Israel, seemingly at least, when it comes to these maritime disputes?
Well, as our audience knows, there have been a plethora of issues about which Lebanon and Israel might have disagreements and would need to find accommodation. But most recently, as you just point out, the intensity of the conflict seems to be over the disputed maritime area. The United States has been a longstanding partner in trying to mediate this role, as has been the United Nations. This is not a new dispute, although it has a new sense of urgency attached to it, as Lebanon is now moving to begin exploration in the disputed territories, which previously had been left unexplored by the two sides. So I think the United States would like to continue to play a role. I think the United States has an excellent relationship with the government of Lebanon and with the Prime Minister of Lebanon. Also, similarly, with the Israelis, and hopefully we can come to a resolution of this dispute before things get so frustrated and invective is injected into the situation that that things turn sour. I don't think that the speech by the Secretary General of Hezbollah today was particularly helpful in terms of that. It seems to be trying to drive a wedge into the negotiations rather than to facilitate negotiations, but we'll see where that goes.
Sayed Mohsen, what do you make of that? Can America, do you think, be an honest mediator in this case?
Well, the problem is that the U.S. just recently supported Israel in terms of its declaration of Jerusalem as a capital. It's been a long-running partner of Israel in the region. So rather than being an honest broker or a real neutral diplomatic possibility for this situation, I think perhaps the U.S. is part of the problem. And I think that they should review whether they should be involved in actually mediating. An international mediation, perhaps, is a better way forward.
All right, so Michael, you know, I wanted to go back to your criticism of Sayed Nasrallah's speech because, you know, you will know well, Michael, this all came after Tillerson criticized Hezbollah, in fact saying that Hezbollah's growing strength is a threat to Lebanon, although all of the officials that he met are in fact in government because Hezbollah has signed up for a coalition with them. So Hezbollah is a part and parcel of the Lebanese political process. How do you think Tillerson has handled that situation in Lebanon? He seems to have angered more people than he's pleased.
Well, Secretary Tillerson, I think, was careful to draw a line of demarcation between the Lebanese people, the Lebanese government, the prime minister with whom we get along. And I might underscore that the United States provides a large amount of aid to the government of Lebanon to keep its functions going, to keep its military defense forces strong and trained and operational, et cetera. And Secretary Tillerson, on the other side of the line of demarcation, did note that although it was important to note the reality of the situation is that Hezbollah is a coalition partner in the government of Lebanon, nonetheless, they operate sort of outside the state at times, or maybe as a state within a state. And as they maintain their own militia, which is apparently not subject to the direction or control of the Lebanese government, And as the Secretary General was able to give his speech today, in which he made a number of threats, that it's unclear whether he was making those on behalf of the Lebanese government or just on behalf of Hezbollah. I suspect it was just on behalf of Hezbollah because his partnership in the coalition is a minority partnership. You know, Secretary Tillerson is trying to send a signal to the Lebanese people that they might be better off without this partnership with Hezbollah.
Sayed Mohsen, I find that interesting because, you know, Sayed Nasrallah, in fact, touched upon this issue of aid that Lebanon does receive from the United States, saying that obviously Israel receives numerous times more aid, military aid even, really, from the United States, and Israel has way more advanced technology from the United States. And yet Lebanon, even though the little aid that does get, does not have the right to protect its own airspace from Israeli violations of its sovereignty. What do you make of that?
Well, let's be clear. The reality in this region is that Israel has been a proxy, whether it's of the U.S. Zionist lobby, which runs most of the U.S. Establishment, has done for many, many years. The truth is, it's very hard to ask the Israeli entity or the U.S. to keep their noses out of the Middle East. They can't. They need the oil, they need the money, wherever the gas and the oil is, the U.S., Israel, the British government, these guys are there. It doesn't matter what the region is. The fact that this happens to be the oil and gas which is around in Lebanon doesn't surprise me that, again, there's such a keen interest for the U.S. To get involved. Ultimately, it's the same thing that happened in Syria. The gas reserves that were there offshore in Syria was something, for instance, which Assad was being flirted with by the French and by the Western imperialist forces, and the reality was that he rejected them. And once he rejected them, that was the final nail in his coffin, and most of the covert PSYOPs operation, which began in Syria, which continues today, initiated largely by Israel and the U.S., was all to do with access to gas. It was to do with oil pipelines to run through Syria. It was to do with the revenue and the economic interests of the U.S. and also, as ever, the defense of Israel in that region. Now, divide and rule is something which is a common strategy for Western imperialism to use in that region. It's quite clear that by trying to tempt the Lebanese government, the prime minister and others to split away from Hezbollah, it's the same old game of divide and rule. I don't think the Lebanese people are quite that stupid. They fully understand the consequences of division. They went through decades of internal civil war, again facilitated by outside agencies and the PSYOPs of the West in the Middle East. I don't think they're going to go down that route. As for Hezbollah, well, without Hezbollah, Lebanon would have been long since annexed by Israel and its occupation forces. It's only because of Hezbollah that the Israelis are too fearful of coming into Lebanon. It would be highly unwise of the Lebanese people to engage in any kind of fraternization with Israel around this. They have the rights to go ahead and do what they want within the territorial waters and the territorial area that belongs to them and to the economic revenue that exists below the ground there. The Golan Heights is another area where Israel is trying to occupy that land because, again, the oil and gas is there. And yet again, we can see that it is the interests of Israel which are paramount to the West. And that's what America would do in any negotiations. It can't be trusted.
Michael, that then leads me to my question to you then, because, you know, America has always said it has a special relationship with Israel. It obviously will not side with Lebanon on this issue. It'll obviously side with Israel, as it always has in any other such case. Israel wants to build a wall on Lebanese territory with no one's permission, really. Israel feels that it can do as it so wishes. No one seemingly will hold it to account in that case. Israel wants a part of Lebanese territorial waters. It will fight for that. Sayed Nasrallah essentially said that Tillerson came not to try to meet, essentially to threaten the Lebanese government into giving up part of its territorial waters to Israel so it can obviously get gains from the oil and gas reserves that exist there too. Why should we then see America as a neutral mediator in any of this? It will side with Israel, won't it?
Well, as I pointed out in the top of the show, the circumstances are that the United States has been mediating this for years. And although, along with the United Nations, as I mentioned, and although no solutions have been found yet, so far peace and relative tranquility has been maintained over the issue. It's only becoming more intense now because of Lebanon's stated intent to begin exploration in the area. You know, I think that two things. Number one, Secretary Tillerson yesterday, during his press conference, said that he had advised the Israelis that they should not build the wall until the border disputes have been resolved. I think that's a clear indication that he's asking the Israelis to hold back on the building of that wall until all sides are comfortable with where the boundaries would be. And once the boundaries are done, then building it inside Israeli territory, of course, is a matter of their prerogative. Secondly, on the disputed maritime Block 9, what we have here is something that is legitimately a genuine dispute. I don't know that I could be a mediator on this and decide who owns what, you know, if it should be all one way or the other way. I think this will go through a lot more negotiation, a lot more mediation. If it turns out that it needs to go to the international courts, it may indeed do that. But I don't think this is a dispute that is just manufactured. I think this is a very legitimate dispute where both sides assert what look to be pretty legitimate claims.
Said Mohsen, in a hypothetical situation where Israel goes ahead and builds that wall, do we really think that America will hold it to account?
I don't think the U.S. would have any intention of holding it to account. It can't. The Israelis dictate a lot of the foreign policy that the Americans engage in the Middle East. If they didn't, the Americans would be smart enough to have a much more balanced approach in the Middle East, and we probably wouldn't have the debacle and the conflict, the scale of conflict that is now going on there. I mean, the reality is it's been a one-sided approach by the U.S. all the way down the line. When it comes to Israel, the U.S. will capitulate every time. And as far as the Secretary General of Hezbollah goes, he's smart enough and wise enough to understand that little leads to large. And once you give way to Israel on this issue of oil, what you're effectively also doing is, or the rights to the oil in this territory, you'd be giving away also the rights to territorial independence along the southern border of Lebanon. It's quite clear that the Israeli army has tried twice now to penetrate that region. They still have that intention. Why? Because at the heart of it, the only force that has been able to defeat them, the only Arab force which has been able to defeat Israel, has been Hezbollah. It is the thorn in their side. They know that they cannot just militarily actually destroy Lebanon. Their only other option will be to try and divide it internally. In order to create friction, you can start trying to create tensions between the various different multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious aspects of Lebanon. I believe that's partly what the strategy is here in stoking up this kind of issue. But also the Secretary General of Hezbollah is absolutely correct in his analysis that actually ultimately Hezbollah is being targeted fundamentally because they are that one bulwark against Israel in the region. Even the Arab Spring, in fact, perhaps even the Syrian crisis and the rest of the war across the Middle East, is fundamentally about uprooting Hezbollah from the borders of Israel. That's the biggest dream that Israel could have, and the U.S. will be used to facilitate that.
All right, so Michael, let's just take a few moments out and look at the U.S.'s own track record, if we can, in the region. Because, you know, Syed Nasrallah also spoke about the fact that he was very blunt. He said that Donald Trump is a businessman. He does see Iraq as just a big barrel of oil, really. And if we look at where the United States is most involved in Iraq, where the United States occupation and interventions in Syria are in areas which are most rich in oil/gas, in energy resources in those areas. Is this already just about energy, something that we've been speaking about for many, many years, ever since the start of the U.S. invasion of Iraq?
Well, yes, it is about energy, but I don't believe it's about United States appropriating or stealing or annexing the natural resources that are located in those areas. It's about protecting the neutrality, the safety, and security of those oil-producing regions so that they can continue to produce and provide not only revenues to the host countries, but also energy to the international markets to keep them stable. And I think that's the reason why the United States has wound up in those particular areas. Let me go back to something my colleague said just in the previous question, which was that Israel's greatest dream at this point might be the removal of Hezbollah from the southern border of Lebanon. Well, that might be their second greatest dream, but it certainly is a very, very important one. Look, Israel does view Hezbollah as a threat. Both Israel, the United States, and most of the West still view Iran as quite an adversary. They view Hezbollah as nothing more than a client of the Iranian government. And they feel that Hezbollah is doing the bidding as a proxy of Iran to disrupt Israel and to threaten its security. And that's why the greatest dream or the second greatest dream would be the disappearance of Hezbollah from the southern border of Lebanon.
Michael, if I could just stay with you, because I wanted to push you on that point you just made. We know that the Lebanese president and other Lebanese officials standing beside Tillerson during press conferences have pushed him on trying to force Israel to at least respect Lebanese sovereignty. We know Israel has overflights all the time, which are illegal. It does not respect Lebanese sovereignty. It's planning to build this wall on Lebanese territory, not territory that it may claim for its own, but on Lebanese territory, coming into Lebanon itself, on Lebanese land. What does that say about Israel then? I mean, certainly, if we look at the other side of this equation, the Lebanese people need to stand up for themselves, don't they?
Well, I think Israel, when it looks to its own safety and security, still looks tactically at the landscape and says, okay, what do we need to provide our own security? It's no accident that the Golan Heights are still a territory in which Israel is occupying. Those are lands that, you know, overlook Israel, from which many attacks can be launched, from which great damage can be done. And for military reasons, they are still hanging on to that until ultimately there is some sort of peace treaty that results in the return or some other disposition of those lands. Same with the southern border, the exact nature of the southern border of Lebanon. Israel looks at the terrain, looks at the tactical advantages of different things, and makes a decision as to what land does it need to hold on to in order to defend herself. Now, at some point, there will be a peace treaty between Lebanon and Israel, which never took place at the end of the last war. And this will be a resolution that will be decided as a result of those negotiations. I suspect if the treaty is very good, that Lebanon would be very happy with the disposition of those contentious border points.
All right, so Sayed Mohsen, is it that for Israel to feel secure, it can essentially flout international law? It can enter into any country's territories it so wishes, be it via airspace or via land, and no one can hold it to account?
Well, look, this is a fundamental right of nation states. The sovereignty issue, the national sovereignty, the sanctity of somebody's boundaries should not be violated. Preemptive strikes. If the whole world started setting their foreign policies on the basis of preemptive strikes, we're going to have a completely dead world very, very soon. Israel seems to have a license for preemptive strikes, which goes unchallenged by the U.S. In fact, it's encouraged quite often, really, because what's been happening in Syria, as you touched on earlier as well, there have been regular sorties and raids by F-16s and various other aircraft into Syrian territory, violating that territory. The USA itself is in Syrian territory, violating space, bombing as it pleases. This week, hundreds of individuals were killed again by US missiles. Under what pretext? The sovereign government of Syria or the sovereign government of Lebanon has not invited foreign powers to come in like the US. They invited the Russians in. They invited the Iranians in. For that matter, the Lebanese also have taken support from the likes of Iran. Why? Because Israel has launched preemptive, expansive, colonialist, imperialist occupation wars against these nations. So quite obviously they have to resist, they have to defend their rights. If they don't, Israel has this belligerent attitude that it'll virtually occupy. Now, where was the US when Palestinians in Gaza were being bombed by Israel indiscriminately? Where was the US when the Israelis trundled into South Lebanon and beyond as it liked? Where was the US when the Israelis support ISIS on the borders of the Golan Heights and actually support them medically and militarily and in other ways? I mean, the US goes absent whenever it chooses, and it has this kind of moral relativity about preemptive strikes, about national borders and the sovereignty of nations based on its economic greed.
Okay, gentlemen, we're going to leave that as our final word for tonight. But of course, we do appreciate both your contributions to tonight's discussion. That was TV journalist Sayed Mohsen Abbas, who is speaking to us live from London. And we were also joined by the president of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who had been speaking to us live from Washington, D.C. And of course, viewers, we appreciate you joining us as well. Until next time, good night.